Welcome to Stories from the Heart. I'm your host, Sandra McDevitt. Today, an incredible true story of one man's conversion thrown out of a Protestant church because he didn't have enough faith to be healed from his paralysis. He comes across a spunky nun called Sister Fidelma. There was an Irish saint called Fidelma, and I'm researching her story. Stay tuned to find out about his conversion on another Story from the Heart. I grew up under a very loving but strict evangelical family. We went to various churches. On September 2, 1961, we attended a Pentecostal church where I was baptized. In my teens, much to my shame now, I rebelled badly and wanted nothing to do with God. Later I got married and moved from Essex down to Derbyshire. I had forgotten God, but had God forgotten me as well? My wife and I began to attend a variety of churches, similar to my youth, but we never felt at home in any of them, though to be honest, the people on the whole were good and kind. Later we found another church in Essex, where we went for some years. Things were fine, but it wasn't to last. On December 31st, 1985, tragedy struck. I was involved in an accident at work, and I became a paraplegic. My case was not taken up in time, so we had no compensation, but blessed be God, all our needs were met. Then the difficulties really began. I have believed, and still do believe, that God can heal people today. But the church we were attending at the time took the verses of the Bible sadly out of context. Because I was not healed, it had to be because there was either sin in my life, or that I didn't have enough faith. They said things like, "Sorry, God has not given me a word for you." And I had no hope. To my surprise and the complete bewilderment of my 14-year-old daughter, we were eventually dropped from the church. I tried to find somewhere else to worship, but it was not easy, as many churches were not wheelchair accessible. We found one locally that was evangelical, and the people were polite. But the next day, I had a visit from the pastor who told me in no uncertain terms, "We do not believe God heals today." We felt devastated since we had not said one word about this and had only been to one meeting. I then decided that perhaps I could stay at home and read my Bible, pray, and keep my relationship with Jesus on my own. As you will know if you are a Christian, this is nearly impossible. Around our local shops, I used to occasionally run into a nun named Sister Fidelma, who later became one of my sponsors. She was charismatic, literally, and the love of Jesus shone from out of her face. We had some great times of fellowship. I just say here that for 30-odd years, I was fiercely anti-Catholic and was taught that verses could be used to counter Catholicism. But of course, God has a marvelous sense of humor. I had an intense longing to pray somewhere other than my home, and Sister Fidelma suggested that, as her church was handicap accessible, why not in there? I was mortified. I did enjoy her company and good fellowship, but she was a Catholic. Months went by and my longing to find a place to pray increased. Finally, I asked if I could, but only under the condition that there was to be no preaching at me or any pressure. She smiled and said to let her know the time and she would make sure the doors were open. If you have not had my upbringing, you will never understand the problems I had just going into a Catholic church. The day came and I went with my Bible, holding it tightly and remembering over and over in my head special anti-Catholic verses, just in case. It was worse than I thought. First thing that caught my attention was an idol of Mary. Then I saw an idol of Jesus on the cross. I looked around desperately and found solace at the side of the church, where there was a stone pillar with a brass box on top with a candle by it. I positioned myself in front of it so that this pillar blocked my view of those terrible idols. My first prayer was, "Please, Lord, do not strike me dead for being in here. I just want to be alone with you and pray." I knew nothing of Catholic beliefs at all except they worshipped Mary and the Pope was the Antichrist. This did not sit well with me, but I just sat there thinking of all the good things that God had blessed us with. I'm not sure how long I've been praying when this voice came so clearly into my head. "My child, be still. Be still and know that I am God." My immediate reaction was, "How can you be in a place like this?" I was so shocked, I hastily closed my Bible and went straight home. The next Thursday, I went again, once more positioning myself so that I couldn't see the idols. But the same thing happened. "My child, be still, and know that I am God." This time, I felt that I should just be still. I waited, and as I sat there in my wheelchair praying, I had such a wonderful sense of God's love, as peace flooded over my whole being. For about 6 weeks, this happened every Thursday, and eventually I met the priest, Father Allen, and I asked if we could have a chat. We arranged to meet 2 days later. He had such a love of Jesus, and he never retaliated when I asked him about the idols, but just explained the church's teaching on statues and that worship belongs to God alone. He was so patient and kind. I told him what had been going on for the past 6 weeks, and when I told him about being still, he asked me where I was when this happened, and I showed him. A huge smile spread across his face. "Do you know where you were sitting?" "Hiding from the statues," I said. He smiled as I said that and explained that it's called the tabernacle. They believe that Jesus becomes fully present during Holy Mass and the remaining hosts, that is, his real presence, are reserved there in the tabernacle. Of course, this meant absolutely nothing to me, but he seemed very excited. I asked him not to pray with and for me as I was a Christian and he was a Catholic. With a loving smile, he explained that Catholics are Christians, and he would pray for me. I couldn't get out fast enough. I didn't want anyone to see the tears in my eyes because I knew God was there, and I had been rude. His loving reply drove deep into me like a sword and rebuked me far more than words could. When I prayed that night, the first thing I asked was that God would forgive my unloving attitude. Then I phoned up Father Allen and asked his forgiveness. He said it was not necessary, as he understood, and at any time I wanted to chat, just let him know. He finished by saying, "God bless you and keep you. You are in my prayers." Well, the very next day, we went to a rummage sale, and another little nun came up to me. I never found out her name, but still pray for her and thank God for her. She gently put her hand on my shoulder, smiled, and said, "God bless you. Do you know that the love of Jesus is in your eyes?" This was getting to be too much for me. Before I left her, she gave me a little paperweight in wood that I later found out had the images of Our Lady of Perpetual Help. I took it simply because I didn't know how to respond to such kindness and obvious love without causing offense. Some weeks went by. I started to go to Holy Mass on Sundays. I didn't understand most of it, but I knew that Jesus was truly there, and that at the consecration, when everyone knelt, I saw love and worship in the congregation's eyes. To be honest, I just wanted to get out of my wheelchair and prostrate myself at this point because I knew something holy was going on. I was amazed to see how much scripture was used all through the Mass. In fact, it all appeared to be from scripture. Well, this added to my confusion. Later, I saw a notice on the bulletin board saying there was going to be an RCIA course, and everyone was welcome to come. I let Father Allen know, and he was delighted. To cut a long story short, I was taught what the church really believed, and my desire was to receive my blessed Lord's body and blood. I knew this had to wait until I was confirmed and received into the Catholic faith. Then another mishap occurred. I was due to be received into the church Easter 1995. However, another medical problem had flared up. It meant I had to have surgery. By the time I recovered, Easter would have come and gone. My longing was so great that I asked, "Can I not be received into the church earlier?" February 11th, there was a special meeting in the church as the relics of Our Lady of Guadalupe were coming. When I went up to be blessed while the others received communion, Father Allen said, "Would you like to be received into the church tomorrow?" My smile was a mile wide. "Yes, please," I said. He had phoned the bishop to obtain this special permission. I went home and told my wife, Marion. She was 100% supportive. Truly, Proverbs 31 was written about her. And the next surprise came when I invited my father, and he came. The next day was just full of blessings and great emotion. It was Sunday, February 12, 1995. I was received into the faith that is so precious to me. I remember the loving look from Father Allen as he held up the host and said, "The body of Christ." And then, after he offered me the chalice and said, "The blood of Christ," my reply to both statements was, "Amen." To this day, my life is centered on our Lord Jesus Christ, especially the privilege to receive Him at Holy Mass. The Pope, who I now honor and believe to be of apostolic succession to St. Peter, was one of the keys in my journey when I saw him forgive the man who tried to kill him. I have learned that I am part of God's marvelous family and grieve at the disunity there is in His body. I am persuaded that I have something to do for Jesus, something that I can do, because each of us has a unique ministry. Mine is to tell of His marvelous love wherever I am. Please pray for me that God's will may be achieved in my life. John Barton, Grays, Essex, England. Thank you for joining us on Stories from the Heart. Today's true story, my conversion story, was written by John Barton and published in 201 Inspirational Stories of the Eucharist. If any listener has info on St. Fidelma, please send it on. I would love to know something about her. Stories from the Heart is recorded in the studios of Ave Maria Radio. To reach me, email Sandra at avemariaradio.net. I'm Sandra McDevitt. May God bless the rest of your day.
Listen to all of Ave Maria Radio on the internet at avemariaradio.net. Hear clean, crisp sound from your computer of all your favorite shows. And now you can research the things that matter most, just like Al Cresta, by going to the Cresta in the Afternoon guest archives. Find the headlines, the stories, and the links that goes into each program. Then comment on it. Now you even have more reasons to become a radioactive Catholic by going to avemariaradio.net.